Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I said praise the Lord, everybody. I'm your host, Evander Tashana Wiley, coming to you live from St. Joseph, Michigan. Yes, coming to you live with I Am Royalty Show. It is September the 17th, 2010. And I'm coming to you live, hallelujah, and coming to you on today to let you know that this is the Lord's doing, hallelujah, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And this day the Lord has made just for me and you, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Say now, beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send us a right now prosperity, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just wanted to thank God for all of you listeners on today on I Am Royalty Show. I just want to let you know that the Lord loves you and I do too. I just want to let you know that on today, I call today Untouchable Friday. Yes, Untouchable Friday. And on today, I just want to know that you're walking in the whole armor of God and that on today that you will receive the blessings from God on today. And that on today on the air, within this next hour, we're just decreeing and declaring that we're going to get a supernatural miracle from God on tonight. We're going to get whatever we need God to do on tonight on I Am Royalty Show, we're going to get it. So if you want to call in and ask any type of questions or just want to be just a surprise guest or want to listen in, you can call in at 1-917-889-7059. Hallelujah. I'm just so excited about being back in my hometown, Bethany, Michigan, St. Joseph, Michigan. I have been gone away for about almost 4 months, 3.5 months in Las Vegas, Nevada, down there doing the Lord's business and on the book tour. And I thank God for blessing me and my family, me and my children and my sister and our children to go down there and just to get into another environment and just to see the greatness that God has for us if we just wait on him and we just seek him in all that we do. And we know that he is God. And I just thank you, God, so much just for doing that for me and my family. I'm letting you know on today, God is going to do some great things. I just feel it in my sanctified soul, hallelujah. I just feel it in my sanctified spirit, hallelujah. I know God is going to do some great things on today. And that's why I call it Untouchable Friday, because today you can't be touched by the enemy. Do you hear me out there, listeners? You will not be touched by the enemy on today, that he cannot touch you because you're unshakable, unmovable, unstoppable, and untouchable on today. And that you have the whole armor of God on today, and that God is going to do great things in your life on today. Hallelujah. On today, God had me go across some of my old notes. And in my old notes, I want to share some of that with you. And I call them the 8 B's, the 8 steps to keep you and direct you to the fullness of God. And if you have any pencil and paper out there, you can write it down or you can even listen to this broadcast later. But I just want to share this with you on today. 1, be ready. Always be prayed up and have a word in your mouth. Always be willing to walk in your gifts, to walk in your purpose, to walk in your authority, and to be being led by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 10, verse 8 says, we are able to lay hands on the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, sickness, and disease, cast out demons, surely give and surely receive. Hallelujah. Number 2 says, be kind. We are living epistles, always watched by men, so you are in the image of God. And it says, love is the greatest commandment of all. And it says, love covers a multitude of sin. And it also says, love and kindness has I drawn you unto thee, says the Lord. And being kind is one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 24. Hallelujah. Not only also after that, we're going to go into number 3. Number 3 is always be understanding. Have compassion for people. They may not have your strength or your weakness that you do, so help them through it. And don't be quick to judge or bash anyone for their fall downs and their mishaps. Encourage them. Let them know they can do it and tell them just like in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Next, we're going to go to number 4. And number 4 says, be focused. Always keep your mind stayed on Jesus. That is where your strength is. And you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because remember, deliverance starts in the mind, and the battlefield is in the mind. And an idle mind is the enemy workshop, and in the mind we serve the Lord. Number 5, be still. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. So we have to be still, and a lot of our ways of doing is that we need to be still and hear God when we pray. Sometimes we speak too much during our prayer time, but sometimes all God wants to do is to speak to us and let us know that he is God and let him minister to us. So that's what God wants us to do, to be still and listen to him so we can hear him. A lot of times we're talking so much, we can't hear God, and we don't understand what he's saying because we're talking. But we need to just be still and be quiet and know that he's God, and in the stillness, he will minister to us. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and when a stranger comes, they will not follow. Hallelujah. Number six is called be quiet. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So you see that if you are quiet, it makes a lot of issues and situations in your life cease by your quietness. And sometimes God also wants you to be quiet so you can just pray and watch in the innermost part of yourself. I want you to ask your innermost part of yourself on today. I want to challenge a lot of you listeners out there on today to be honest with yourself, because Jesus said the truth will set you free. And I can truly watch and pray when I'm quiet. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be keeping it 100 on today. A lot of times I spoke to some situations in my life that it could have been prevented if I had kept my mouth closed. But I began to open up my mouth, and my mouth got me in trouble because I didn't be slow to speak and quick to listen. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, and harsh words turns up anger. It also says in Proverbs 14:1, it also says that a wise woman build up her own house, and a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Hallelujah. So in this season, God just wants us to just to be quiet and listen to the still voice within inside of ourselves and listen to the things that he gives us. Because in that stillness, God gives us peace. In that stillness, he gives us more comfort in him. In that stillness, he gives us restoration. In that stillness, he gives us this closeness to him that we be able to seek him. So that's what God is saying to the church, that I want you to be still and be quiet and know that I'm God. And when you're being still and quiet and know that I'm God, I can transform the things in your life. I can be the potter, and you can be the clay, and I can mold you and shape you and inform you in the way that I want you to do. Hallelujah. Number seven is be wise. You have to use great wisdom in ministry. I'm telling you, this last year I've been in ministry, I'm telling you, without wisdom, you will fail in. And I'm telling you, any of you preachers out there, you evangelists, you pastors, you teachers, you prophets, you apostles, you all know, missionaries, altar workers, prayer warriors, whatever your ministry may be, I'm telling you, wisdom is the key. Without wisdom, I'm telling you, we will fail in life. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, grab wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, tie it around your neck, wear it like a necklace, and guard it close to your heart. And when you do, God will give you favor with him, man, and people. Because you grab that thing, you wear it like a necklace, it is hidden to your heart. He said, my word have I hidden into your heart. You guard it close to your heart, and God don't look at the outward man, amen? He looks at the inward man, which is your heart. And when you have your heart close to God, and you have your heart seeking God, that you will have more wisdom in the situations. You will have more wisdom in decisions. I'm telling you, that wisdom not to understand is a wonderful triple. I call it the triplets. I call it wisdom not to understand the triplets, because you can't have one without the other. You need it all together to do things great in life. And it says, wisdom is the key to a successful ministry and a successful life. You have to have wisdom in ministry, because some things God will give you to say and not to say. So you just have to ask God to give you more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so you can have effective ministry. And it also goes back into, you know, just seeking God. You know, a lot of us, you know, we just go head first, and then we're like, man, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did this happen again? Because we didn't use wisdom. But in this season in our lives, God wants us just to use wisdom. He just wants to be like Solomon. That's why Solomon got the riches. See, y'all can read that for yourself in 2 Kings 4. Solomon got the riches because of his prayer. He asked God to give him wisdom not to understand to govern his people. And the Bible said that God was pleased with Solomon because he didn't ask for riches, a long life, or hurt one of his enemies or anything. He needed that, because when he had that, everything else would fall in place. That's why the Bible says wisdom is better than riches and royalty. It will take you farther than anything else in your life, because when you have that, you can move forward in God, amen? And God just wants us just to go farther in him and to seek him all the more. He wants us to have the wisdom and just even with our prayer life. You know, God, take my prayer life up in wisdom. Take my worship up in knowledge. Hey, give me understanding to your word. Give me understanding to your peoples. God, give me understanding this dream and vision. Do you think Daniel would ever told King Nebuchadnezzar about the dream if he didn't ask God for wisdom, not to understand him? You think he would never know the writing on the wall in Daniel 6 that it said, me not kick and parson, if he never would have asked God for wisdom, not to understand him? Do you think when Joseph was in a pit in the jail cell that he would even got out of jail cell if he didn't ask God for wisdom, not an understanding? That's what we have to do, church. That's what we have to do, saints. We have to ask God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to help us along the way. Because with it, you cannot fail. With it, you cannot fall down. Even when you fall down, Proverbs 24:16 says that a just man falls 7 times, but each time he falls, he rises again. Why does Solomon say that? He says that because when you have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, if you fall, that wisdom gonna say, get on up now. You got to get up. You can't stay down. You got to get up. There's people out there that need you. How many of you out there on today? Let's do a challenge on today. Today is called Untouchable Friday. How many of you out there on today? I just want to challenge you just to ask yourself this. How many times have you have made a mistake or done something wrong that you know that you have the word of God out of your character and something said, you got to come on. You got to get up. You got to move forward. You can't be here. You can't do this. You can't do that because that's that inside voice of God. That's the wisdom that you understand that's helping you to move forward. Sometimes you could be sitting up in a party place and something hits you. You'd be like, ooh, wee. That'd be that inside part of wisdom that speaks to you. And that's that inward man of God put inside of you for you to have ideas. So I'm telling you on today, today is called Untouchable Friday. Just know that you cannot be touched. You're moving forward, you're going to be stopped. And don't worry about yesterday. God gave me this on today, and I want to share that with you on today. He said yesterday is a cancel check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is the only cash you will have to need. And spend it wisely. See, it goes back to that wisdom. See, you can't worry about what happened yesterday, last week, last month, last year. Only thing you need to worry about, of course, is today. The only thing you need to be focused on is on today. How you going to please God today? How you going to walk upright today? Who can you help today? You actually really think that you woke up today for your own personal gain? No, I'm sorry, baby. God loves you, but it ain't about you. It's about God's kingdom and his people. You woke up on today to do the things of God. It's somebody out there that needs to hear your testimony. It's somebody out there that needs to hear that they are loved. It's somebody out there that needs to know that they're a king or queen with riches sitting in the heavenly places and something is better for them. It's somebody out there going through a lot of abuse, and they need to hear your story and how you overcome it and watch you so they can move forward. It's somebody out there, it's a man out there that don't feel that he's worthy enough to be loved or he's been to childhood issues, pain, and hurt, and they need to hear what you got to say. Come on, somebody. Where's the workers at? Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It's time for us to work, work, work. Man, don't work, don't eat. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you're in your world. If you ain't working for God, baby, I'm sorry. God's word will never turn him a boy. He's not a guy allowed to fail, son of a pig. If he said it, it's going to happen. It's already done. Heaven has been passed away. His word will remain forever. But if you don't work, you just don't eat. You don't eat the good of the land. That scripture about it we can quote so easily. We're going to eat the good of the land, and we're going to do this. Yeah, but what are you doing to get it? If you're not working, I'm sorry, you're just not going to eat. But you have to work, because you know every day we come past somebody. If somebody need to know that, hi. Some people don't even get said hi to. Why you think it's a suicide is so high on today? Why you thinking this day and age suicide happens every day, all day? Because people don't feel that they're loved. They don't feel they have a need to be alive. They don't feel no one cares. But I'm here to let you know that anybody out there listening today and you feel nobody don't love you, the devil is a liar. God loves you. God cares about you. God needs you to do his work. God honors you. God cares about you so much he gave his only begotten son so that he can die for your sins. God cares about you so much he woke you up this morning, started you on your way, got you in your perfect mind, peace, stayed on Jesus. Devil is a liar, and you will not die in this season of both shot. But you will live to declare the works of the Lord and live and tell everybody all the wonderful things that God has done for you. Hallelujah. You have listened to a woman who wants to die every day of her life. Let me tell you something. Let me just tell my testimony to some women out here and some men too. I was a married woman since I was 18 years old. And baby, I was married. And I used to wake up every day looking at my husband's face and saying to myself, I want to die. Now, how many of you out there say, if I had me somebody to love me or lay in the bed with me, I'll be all right? Not the devil's alive there, because the suicide want to hit you, depression want to hit you, you'll still have it. Baby, I laid in the bed every day with my husband and looked into his face and felt like, what's the use of me waking up? What's the use of me going to sleep? I had cars, I had money, I had houses, everything, and I still was miserable. Why? Because there was a void inside of me that only God can fill. There was an emptiness inside of me that only Jesus can resurrect. It was something inside of me that only Jesus can restore for me. No man can do that. No woman can do that. Only God can heal you inwardly, outwardly. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you don't need nobody to make you complete, baby. All you need is God. All you need is God to turn your life around and open up the windows of heaven. One word for God can manifest your life. One word from God can change your life. I'm telling you, I was married trying to kill myself and let the institution take an offensive pill. I had a husband. I had somebody since I was young to grow, and I still was miserable. I went on trips with Hawaii, with the Disney cruise, went all over the world, but baby, I still was miserable because I didn't have that connection with God. I didn't have that communication with God. I didn't know how to seek God. I didn't even know what his voice sounded like. But baby, on today, I ain't got no husband, and I'm happy, I'm calm, I'm cool, I'm content, and baby, I love life. I love me from this time. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm studying confidence. It's all on me. I love me because God showed me how to love me. God showed me how to live in him. God showed me how to speak life into my own self. Sometimes you got to be like David, y'all. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes you got to just speak those things out of your mouth that's not as though they were, because he has given you the power and authority and dominion over all things. In Genesis 1:28, he said he has told us to replenish the land, multiply in number, subdue the land, have dominion and authority over all things. That means everything in our life should come subject to the word of God. And if it don't, speak it out of your mouth. If you ain't speaking out of your mouth, think about it. How is it ever going to come subject? If Jesus would ever spoke things out of his mouth, do you actually think the demons would have came out of Legion? If Jesus would say, come out of the man? No. Legion would have still been walking around. Do you think that anybody been healed? Jesus would say, be healed, go in peace, your faith has made you whole. What did a man say in Matthew 8:8, the centurion soldier? Lord, if you just speak a word, and I know it is so. And Jesus said, go, your faith, I have not seen faith like this in all of Israel. Your servant is healed. And the Bible said within the hour, his servant was healed. Now, sure as the Lord lives, if he can do that for him. And Jesus said in the end of Matthew, the end of Mark, the end of Luke, and the end of John, greater work shall we do than him. So greater work is what we should do than him. Then we need to open up your mouth. I want y'all on today to open up your mouth, prophesy everything in your life, decree and declare everything in your life, speak to everything in your life, and watch God raise it up. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Watch God do it in your life. Oh, my God, I'm telling you, he's an awesome God. He's a wonderful God. He's a God that cares about us. He's a God that only counts on a thousand hills. This earth is his and the fruit of it all. The Bible says in Psalm 56, and God I trust, shall why should I be afraid? And God I trust, what can mere mortals do to me? David said that meaning, huh? Ain't nobody can touch me. When Saul tried to kill me, couldn't touch me. When my son Absalom tried to kill me, couldn't touch me. When all my enemies and foes tried to come at me, they couldn't touch me because my purpose wasn't over yet. And he began to trust God. How many of y'all out there want to really trust God on today? How many of y'all out there really want to seek God on today? How many of y'all out there really want to just know that God is who he say he is? He is Elohim, the God of the universe. He is Jehovah Roha. The Lord is our shepherd, that we shall not want anything. He is the Lord, our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee. How many of y'all just want to trust him on today? Know that he is God, and he's able to do it. He's able to keep you. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. In the book of Genesis, it's so fun. I love in Genesis 19. I love Genesis. God has taken me back to the beginning, and I've been learning so many things out of it. I'm telling y'all out there listening, go back to the beginning if you want to learn more of God. He'll teach you something. I promise you he will. But in Genesis 19, Abraham was sitting down because God came and visited him in the flesh. And he told Abraham, next year this time, your wife should be pregnant with a son. And she began to laugh. And he asked, God asked Abraham, why did she laugh? And he was like, is anything too hard for God? And Abraham was like, no, no things are not too hard for you. Why did he say that? Because he got revelation in God. He know that God done it for him before. God to do it for them again. And they said at that time, they had a son. Now, come on, somebody out there. God is saying to you on today, is there anything too hard for me? If you think that job is hard for me, do you think that house is hard for me? Do you think that bills are hard for me? Do you think money is hard for me? Do you think marriage is hard for me? Do you think your family is hard for me? Do you think that addiction is hard for me? Do you think that unforgiveness is too hard for me? Do you think that setback is too hard for me? Do you think any weight, shackle, chain, cord, habit, demonic force is too hard for me? No, nothing is hard for me. I can do all things. I am everlasting. I spoke a word and it was so, and I claimed it all good. You are good, my children. Your merchandise is good. You are royalty. You are righteousness. You are holiness. You are walking in the edification and the likeness of God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you on today, don't let nobody tell you you're not worthy enough. You're not worthy enough to praise God because the daughter of the lion and defeated foe. God loves you and he cares about you and he just want to do great things in your life. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if not today, don't go by. God don't love you. I'm telling you, no matter what man say, it matter what God says, and God cares about you. He said, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you, and he cares for us. Do y'all understand? He cares for us. Today is called Untouchable Friday for a reason, to let you know nothing can touch you on today. Nothing can come your way on today. God said we'll trample down lions and poisonous snakes. We'll crush the vine and serpents underneath our feet. You already have the victory. Victory belongs to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. I see we got some callers on the air. I'm telling you, God is doing something. I'm telling you, on today, I dare anyone out there who's listening, call in at 917-889-7059. And on today, God will do a supernatural miracle in your life. On today, God will change things in your life if you have faith. Jesus said everything is possible for him who believes. Jesus said if you believe, you will see whatever you ask for in prayer. I'm here to tell you a little testimony, and then I'm going to talk to the callers on the air, and then I got people texting in right now. But I'm telling you like this. When I was in Las Vegas, Nevada, I'm telling you there's some things out there happening that I've never been through. But you know what? God showed me something. He showed me signs all over. It was this magician named Chris Angel. And his main thing he said, believe and believe and believe and believe. And I began to just apply that to my life. And I said, okay, Lord, all right, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. And I promise you, when I believed God, when I was in Vegas, he let everything come to pass. He let everything happen in your life. Jesus said you could tell a mountain to move and cast itself into the sea if you believe and don't doubt in your heart. So I'm telling you, believe in your heart that God can do it and watch him do it for your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Caller, you are on the air. I see two callers on the air. I'm so sorry. I'm telling you, God is just speaking on today to the people. And I want you to introduce yourself and where you're from. And do you have anything to say to the listeners or any questions? Hallelujah. I call today Untouchable Friday. So today is just us talking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for us. Hallelujah.
I'm Missionary Bobby Smith from Benton Harbor, Michigan.
And praise God, y'all. That's my big sister, Missionary Bobby. Y'all know she was on one of my first shows. Actually, a couple of my shows, and she rocked it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have anything to say, Missionary Bobby, to the people?
Yes. God is in the blessing business. I thank God for just always watching over and protecting his people in spite of their choices and decisions that they make on a day-to-day basis. I thank God for his protection, and I thank God for always providing everything that we need on a day-to-day basis. And so I just want the listeners to know that God is real. He is so real, and he knows, and he sees, and he hears everything. Nothing is hidden from him. He knows the heart of man, and that's huge, to know that God, his mercies and his grace is sufficient for us on a day-to-day basis. I just thank God so much just for always being there with me, you understand, and always just paving the way and making a way every single day. And it's just so huge of him to, well, I'll say this. I'm just amazed at how he just continues to just love on us in spite of what we do, in spite of what we say, and mm-hmm. even in our way we're thinking sometimes. Mm-hmm. And who wouldn't love a God like that? I mean, he is just so wonderful. And I'm just so blessed to have God in my life loving me the way that he does and protecting me and loving me the way that he does. And loving my children and loving Evangelist Wiley and her children and everyone that's connected to us. And just knowing that God, because he sees all these wonderful things that he had, because he have all these wonderful things in store for us, he mm-hmm. his grace continues to be sufficient for us. And like one of our sisters said, Evangelist Cicely, she was saying that God is so mindful of us. And it's so nice to know that, you know, God, that all power, strength, and might is in his hands, that because he knows what we're going to do before we do it, he spares us in spite of. He spares us daily. And I just want the listeners to know that you can trust and you can believe and you can have faith in God, because the Bible says, acknowledge God in all your ways and he will direct thy paths, because he knows what's going to happen if you, you know, life and death. You know, you have a choice in that. And he knows if you pick this, what could happen. And even though we may go out and do things that in spite of what we're told, in spite of our disobedience or our stubbornness, he still protects us. And that's so awesome that he knows what we're going to do before we do it. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. And so his mindfulness of us and his greatness and his love for us continues to prevail in spite of whatever. And that is so huge to me. That's important. And I don't know, I'm simply amazed at him. It's the greatest love of all time is what it is. And so I want the listeners to be encouraged and to be motivated and to know that all is not lost, that our lives are in his hands, and that he is mindful of us. He knows everything. He knows what's going to happen. If you do certain things, there are consequences. You're going to pay. But God chastises the ones he loves. So even though you may go through some things, test, trials, tribulations, or whatever, just know that he already knows that was going to happen. And he has already provided the healing, and he's already provided the deliverance and the safety that we need, because he loves us like that. So I just want the listeners to be encouraged and motivated and be inspired, and to encourage them to continue to believe in God and trust in God, because he's all that we have. We all going to be judged one day for what we do and say and think here on this earth. And to know that you are preparing. You here, your life here, is in preparation for where you will spend eternity, and that it is your decision where you want to go for the rest of your remainder, for all eternity. So just know that every day is a brand new day. Every minute is a brand new minute to start the rest of your life. So I just want the listeners to be blessed on today.
Amen, 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 amen. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. Actually, we have a couple of texts, and I'm going to answer those and talk to those people, but I want the next caller to introduce themselves and where they're calling from. Hello, caller. You on the air? Hello?
Hey, they just want to listen.
Okay. Well, I really, 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 that really was really good, Missionary Bobby. That was great. We got four texts. One of them is, I don't know what this is. It's like the number is just talking. I don't know if it's Tefley four. I don't know, but they know who I'm talking about. They just want to ask a question of how and when do you know that you're truly walking upright before the Lord, and is every day is always a constant battle. Missionary Bob, you want to answer that since you're on the air, or?
Okay, what is it now?
How, when, and do you know when you're called by God is every day a constant battle?
How and when is a constant constant battle. Well, if you're constantly battle, one thing that the Lord does, He convicts you.
That's right.
Certain things that, you know, you may have been raised in a church, and sometimes some people didn't have that privilege to be raised in church. But one thing about God, like I said earlier, He knows, sees, and hears everything, and He knows your heart. Mm-hmm. And the first thing He does is convicts you of your wrong. It also, He's such a protector, and He knows what's up the road for you. How you know you're walking upright when you constantly in prayer? He's always on your mind. You stay in prayer. You love to worship. You love His songs. You love to be amongst His people. You strive for excellence. You strive to be your best person, to be the best that He has created you to be. You're very mindful of the things that you do, how you think, and the way that you carry yourself. He will convict you, and so that keeps you in mind. It says wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So to be mindful of that, and to want to even know if you're to know how to be, to walk upright before the Lord, that tells you all within itself that you're thinking correctly and that God is with you and God is dealing with you. Mm-hmm. And just know that God loves you and He wants what's best for you as an individual, because our walk with the Lord is a personal one. And so we always try to make sure that we're doing the right things, and we're talking right, and we're in prayer, and we communicate with the Lord. Prayer is communication with God, and He's going to always be there. It also says that if you take one step toward God, He'll take two steps towards you. And you could, depending on how serious you are, you can be as serious with God, and He'd be just as serious about you and your soul salvation. So the question is wonderful. I thank God that you call or text in to even ask that question. How do you know you're constantly convicted of wrongdoing? Even things you may not know have been wrong, God will tell you. He speaks to us through the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit will convict you of it. And you also, you know, when you run into a situation that you may not know, He doesn't hold you accountable for what you don't know. But He will bring it all things to your remembrance. So my advice to you would be to continue to read the Word of God and let Him renew your mind. The Bible says be renewed by the transforming of your mind through the Word of God. So just continue to read your word, continue to go to church, continue to stay in constant communication with the Lord, and He will reveal all things to you.
Amen, amen, amen. That was a wonderful answer. Amen. Amen. She was saying amen. I think this is a woman. I think it is. You know, sometimes I really talk when they use numbers, you can't really tell what it is. Next question is, what is truly a sanctified woman, and how, I hear your Evangelist Wiley always saying, I am a ruby, how can I become a ruby? Well, I'm going to answer that one, and her name is Pat. I'm going to answer that, Pat, and I'm going to read to you, and Missionary Bobby's on the phone, and she'll tell you how this happened. Missionary Bobby, earlier this year, was getting ordained, going through a test to get ordained. You remember that Missionary Bobby for you to be ordained as a missionary? And they were taking a test. And as she was taking the test, God gave me a poem just like that. I read it every morning over my life. I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to tell, well, I know about how you got to read it, but I'm going to say this to you. And then I call it, what is the essence of a godly woman? I'm going to read all those things out that God giving me, the essence of a godly woman, and I'm going to tell you what Proverbs 31 says, and I'm going to tell you what God has told me also. And this is what it is, Patricia. What is the essence of a godly woman? Her relationship with God, her prayer life, her intimacy with God, her worship, her praise, the heart of sinner who she is, her spirit that shines in her eyes, her lips because the fruit of the word of God come out of her mouth, her hands because she raised them high to surrender herself, her feet because she cuts a step, her belly because out of it flows the river of living water, and life begins there, her back because she stands back to back with men and conquer all and win every battle. Her perseverance, because when she falls, she knows how to get back up and rise again. Her voice, because the ways of power comes out of her mouth and life and blessing come out of her sound. There are three things in life, faith, hope, and love. And if you know like I know a woman carries them all. A woman that fears the Lord is worthy to shine, so let her shine. If you stay connected to a woman of God, she will be there for you at all times. And God gave me that within a matter of 5 minutes to write that out, and it was such a blessing to every woman that was in there. And that's what that's truly a Proverbs 31 woman. It says a Proverbs 30 woman, she enriched her husband's life. She knows how to hold down the fort. She knows how to pray. She knows how to take care of her, to handle her business. She knows how to be in the face of God. So, yes, all women are rubies. Rubies are a rare jewel, and you can't find it in no average jewelry store. You have to, if you want to get a ruby from a jewelry store, you go there and tell them they specially order that ruby for you, and you ain't going to pay no $100, $200. You got to pay a lot of money for a ruby, because a ruby is a rare jewel. You find at the end of the earth in Africa and Ethiopia, to be exact. And rubies is what queens wore in their crown back in the Bible days, and even what Queen Elizabeth wear in her crown today. She don't wear no diamonds. She don't wear no sapphire. She don't wear no emerald. She wear a ruby. A ruby is a rare jewel. It's a queen with riches sitting in heavenly places. It's a royalty woman. It's a woman that walk upright before the Lord, and that her outward beauty don't shine all the way, because her inward shine over her outward. Her inward so tight with God. Her inward so beautiful, and it's got it going on, that her outward just a little bit of it of what she really is. That's why in Proverbs 31 it says her husband will praise her, and he will acknowledge her and tell everybody about her, because she know who she is. Ain't nobody got to validate her. Ain't nobody got to tell her she the stuff, because she knows she the stuff. Because when she communicates with God, come on, y'all. Come on, women. I know y'all on this phone. Come on, sister. We all are rubies on this phone, and we all are rubies on this air, and we all are rubies listening. God, you a woman. So don't let nobody tell you that you're not a ruby, baby, because you are a ruby. You are a rare jewel. You are royalty. You are a queen with riches sitting in heavenly places. Do you hear me? Heavenly places. Sky ain't the limit. Remember that, Pat. Sky ain't the limit, but heaven is the limit. Heaven got your back. I'm telling you, girl, you walk upright, hold your head up high like a queen do, and I'm sorry to all bow to the queen, because that's who you is. So next time somebody asks you who you are and what you are, if you want to listen to this broadcast again, write down that poem. But, baby, you are a essence of a godly woman. You have the attributes of God. You have the presence of God. You have the likeness and the lookness of God. You have the heart of God. The Bible says in Genesis 3:15 that the woman will bruise the serpent. She will step on his head, the woman. So I'm telling you, out of your belly flow rivers and living waters. So you are ruby, you are righteousness, you are royalty, and you are walking in riches. So you just know that, Sister Pat. And know that, obviously I don't know who you are, but I want to let you know this, that God has greater things in store for you. And that the day that you come to God and walk in your true royalty and walk in your inheritance, God said your ministry going to go up, your prayer life going to go up, everything about you just going to go up. It's going to go like levels, 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 levels. And then you're going to get to the place that you're going to walk in heavenly realms and heavenly dimensions, because God is going to do great things in your life. And you're going to come back and you're going to justify about it, and you're going to IM, text in, or even call in and tell me the things that God's going to do in your life. But I'm telling you, God want to have a meeting with you. He want a personal encounterment with you. He want to visit you. He want to do some great things in your life. And I'm saying, don't let nobody tell you you're not a queen. You tell them to call me. You tell them to get on this air next week and call me and tell me that you ain't a queen and you ain't a ruby. Because you are. Yes, you are. You are royalty. And that's why you're at the I Am Royalty Show, because you are a royalty and a rare jewel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo, Jesus. She started saying, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. That's what you are, Sister Pat. You are something great. You are something great. Don't let nobody tell you not. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, I love you, queen with the riches. Girl, begin to speak to yourself. You don't need nobody to validate you and tell you who you are. When you know who you are in God, ain't nobody can tell you. Nobody can take that from you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, one more text, and I see. Also, still want to know who's on the air. I know I just got a new caller in, and the other sister that was on the air, I want her to introduce herself. This one right here is from P. Daz. I notice I see his face, so it is a man. He just wants to know, how can a godly man get connected to a godly woman, but walk in the presence of God without hurting God? So anyone on here want to answer that? How can a godly man get in the presence with a godly woman and walk upright without hurting God? Anyone of you woman of God on the air want to say anything to him about that?
Well, I would say to stay prayerful and to keep your communication with that person holy, and don't let your flesh get in the way, meaning don't try to spend too much alone time and in those secret places and things of that nature, because even though you may have good intentions, if you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. So you have to be watchful. And the best thing to do is keep it, see the person in church. If you feel or that other person feels that, you know, your flesh is bothering you, then you know not to go there. You know not to, let's go here and let's do this and do too much in the flesh. Don't entertain the flesh. And don't give no room for the devil to get a foothold in it at all. If you want to please God and you don't want to disappoint God, know your limitations. Know that there are boundaries. Know that God is watching you at all times, and he's watching what you're thinking. If your best intention for that person is to be married and to keep it godly, then keep it godly then. Read your word together. Pray together. Do things of that nature. No, just act like God's sitting right there. Don't do nothing if God was standing right there in your face that you wouldn't, he wouldn't approve of. That's my opinion. Because you have to be that way. Even if you were just by yourself, you always have to think, well, if God was here, would I do this? If God was here, would I say this? If he was standing right there.
That's good.
Sometimes you types of situations, and you have to think that way so that you stay in line with God. If you want a good relationship with a person, it's going to be God. God has to be the head of that relationship, because without God, it's going to fail every time. It's going to fail every time. So there is no failure in God. So you have to keep your relationship in tune and in line with God so that your relationship can go to another level and you still pleasing and acceptable in the eyesight of God, so he can bless the relationship and sanctify the relationship and keep both of you happy. Because if you allow the enemy a foothold, he's going to play on it all the time. He ain't going to let up, because that's his job. So we have to be that same way. You want the best for that person, you have to offer that person God. You have to. And if you both know God and you both have the best intention for each other, you're going to keep God in that relationship, and he's going to be the head of that relationship. He's going to bless and sanctify that relationship so that you can keep your head clear, both of you. Because it's important. It's important because everybody wants healthy, happy relationships. And the only way that's going to happen is if God is in the midst. And if God is in the midst, he's not going to allow you, your mind, to drift off into other things that doesn't pertain to him and his word. And the best way to love a person is to love them through God and with God. And with God, all things are possible. So we have to learn to wait. W-A-I-T, just wait and be patient and don't worry about it. Because when we wait, God give us something exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we could ever think or imagine in our mind, according to the power that is working within us. So what I say to every Christian dating or whatever you're doing in a relationship with a person is to always be mindful and be careful, ever so careful, of your conversations. Let your conversations be holy. And keep it that way. You can still have fun and enjoy each other's company. But I'm telling you, keep it that way. Do not let them convince you, or don't even let yourself, let the enemy convince you to do anything otherwise. Because, like I said earlier, the best thing you can offer a person in this world is God and what he has to bring to the table. So keep it holy.
Amen. Amen. Oh, wow. Oh, wow, Missionary Bobby said, wow, where you from? Love, Pete-ass, love. You from North Carolina. Look, you stay down there. Look, it's my foot from North Carolina. No. He don't say LOL. So, yeah, he received that. You stayed in North Carolina. That's where you stay, brother. God bless you. We ain't doing no hookups on our royalty show. She's a holiness woman. That's what she is. Okay. my God. Oh, God. Okay, caller that's calling. I think you got on during the time. Make sure that Bobby got on. Could you introduce yourself and where you calling from? You live on the air?
I'm sorry. This is Evangelist Tina Smith from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey. Oh, amen. That's my spiritual sister.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
Is it a scripture in the Bible anywhere that says something about you will know your husband or wife when you see them or when you meet them, or how do you know if somebody's the one? Will it be some kind of spiritual connection?
Well, I'm going to say I have read the Bible for just Revelation. I haven't read that, but I read Proverbs 18:22 when it said, he that finds a wife finds a good thing, that same faith from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, I never read that in the Bible, but I read the Bible when the Bible said Adam knew Eve. And I read the Bible when it says that Abraham knew Sarah, you know, and that Boaz knew Ruth, you know, how they knew their wives. They knew who their wives were. Because you remember in the book of in Genesis 2 when the Lord made Eve from out of Adam's rib. When he was in a deep sleep, so he didn't even know what was going on. But when he instantly woke up, he instantly said, wow, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So he instantly knew who she was. He knew that, because he said, I'm going to call her woman because she had came from man. So he instantly knew who she was. So I never read in there that it says that. I mean, I've asked the other missionaries, and I don't know who the other callers on the phone. I just see it's a call only. I don't know who their number is. But I don't know, you know, that they read that. But me, myself, first, I never read that a wife would know who her husband is, none of that. I know the Bible says that a husband would know his wife, you know, and then whatever God put together, let no man put it under. And that, you know, you have to be equally yoked and don't be unequally yoked. But I never read that. I can look it up for you. You know, I have a whole bunch of different Bibles. My sister missionary Bible say I got a whole bunch of Bibles. And I can look it up for you and see if I find it. But if I don't find it, because I have researchers and all that, I got programs on my laptop. If I don't find it on there, it's not in there. But I never read that. But I have read that, you know, that he that finds a wife finds a good thing. So God will let the husband always know first, you know, who his wife is. You know, he would never tell you first because it's not the character of God. That's out of order. But that he will always tell him first. You know, a lot of times when men come up and say, you my wife, a lot of times we say, no, I ain't. You know what I'm saying? Because
that's what I'm saying. Amen. Come on now.
We'd be like, no, you ain't my husband.
Yeah.
You ain't my husband. God ain't telling me that. Well, God ain't going to tell you that first. God is going to tell the man first because the Bible says he that finds a wife, not she that finds a husband. So you ain't going to never know. You know, I mean, when Adam walked up, Eve was there, you know, he said, wow, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. I'm going to call you woman because I know you came from the river man. He instantly knew who she was. She probably didn't even know who he was. She probably, who is this man naked waking up? Well, she didn't even know he was naked. Who is this man looking all good looking at me? She probably know who he was, but he let her know, look, you have, you my woman because God has made you from me. So he instantly knew. She probably didn't know, but he knew. That's just how it is, you know. So a lot of times when a man tells you know, is that we're their wives, that's when we need to be prayerful unto God and be that Proverbs 31 wife and pray and see what God says and see how it goes, you know, because any old thing can tell you that, you know, you my wife and you may not be, but it also, too, you have to pray to God and let God tell you. Because if God told him first, then that's God's job to tell you next because he told him first. Now, if God tell you no, and he's saying, yeah, then see, that's out of order. Because
that's
how can two walk together unless they both agree? You have to agree on it. You can't walk together and not agree. That's not God. He's not off the confusion. He's not going to put strife in the house. A house that's divided cannot stand. So he's not going to do that because a wife won't build up a house and a fool will take it down with her own hands. So if God tell him that, you know, that's your wife, and then God will tell you that's your husband. If God tell you, don't tell him, yeah, then somebody need to pray a little more because that ain't connection. That's not one. Two, join it. The Bible said the man in the book of Genesis, if the man leave his wife, maybe his mother and father, and become one with his wife. They become one flesh, one mind, heart, body, soul, and spirit. So if that's your husband and God telling you no, then come on now, that's already strife before it even gets started.
That's right.
So all I know is just pray about it. If somebody told you that you, they wise, you pray about it, and God tell you no, then you need to keep on praying because tell God to touch him because maybe he just, wants you to be his wife, and God ain't told him nothing. Because it's so funny that you asking me this question, because God has had me yesterday. I was studying. You know, I have my own website, and I was studying out of 1 Kings 13. And it was about a prophet in there, and God told this prophet, he was like, when you walk down the road, wherever you go, do not eat anything. God told him that himself, a prophet. Well, don't eat nothing. You're going to have some tests. Don't eat anything. Keep on going until I tell you to stop. So he was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. So the first person came and tested him and said, okay, you know, the Lord, you know, come, do you want something to eat? He was like, no, the Lord told me not to eat. Okay, the second time around, the Lord, he asked, somebody else asked him, do you want something to eat? He was like, no, you know, the Lord told me not to. So this is how the enemy tricked him. The third man, which was the prophet, he was an older man, he came along and said, okay, you know, God told me to tell you to come to my house and eat with me. He said, no, God told me not. He said, no, God told me it's okay. You'll be all right. You pass the test. You can eat. So the man's like, I don't know now. Now, God told me not to. Okay, he wound up going to the man's house and eat. And as he was eating, the Spirit of the Lord fell on the older prophet. You can read this yourself, 1 Kings 13. And as the Spirit of the Lord fell on the older prophet, the Spirit of the Lord fell on the older prophet, and the older prophet told him that you disobeyed God. God said you disobeyed him. He told you not to eat. You knew you were supposed to eat, but you ate anyway. And now you got to die. And the man died because he disobeyed God, because God told him himself, you don't supposed to eat. But see, the enemy used the older prophet to trick him. And he wanted to be a trick. See, that's what we got to do. Whatever God tell us personally, you better hold on to personally what he told you.
Don't
let nobody else come and tell you something different. That's in the Bible,
right.
That you know how men and women of God sometimes can trick you. You got to go by what God told you. So if God told you no, and somebody tell you yeah, don't you fall for any old thing. You got to stand for something so you won't fall for anything. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So,
all right now.
So that's what God is having us in this season, is to just have more prayer time with him, have more time seeking him, have more time walking up right before him and knowing that he is God. And so that's what I've been doing lately. I've just been in the face of God, seeking him, and that's what I was letting my listeners know on today, that today is called Untouchable Friday, that we can't be touched, that we're moving forward and we won't be stopped, and that greatness is in our future. We're walking our purpose and our destiny, and that we're going higher in God. God's excelling us, taking us in a catapult. He's catapulted us up to the another dimension and another realm in God. And I'm just ready. I'm so excited. I'm ready to do everything that God has called me to do. I'm ready to walk in the purpose and prophecy and promises that God has told me. And I'm telling you, it's all about God this season of my life. It's three more months left this year. And then this year, it says the year of our Lord, is either you're going to make history or you're going to repeat history. Well, I can honestly say that this year the Lord allowed me to make a lot of history. And I want to keep on doing it in the next 3 months. It's time for us to walk and talk about God, speak about God, live about God, and be all about God. Stop being a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word and do the things that God has called us to do. And that's what I'm ready to walk in. And I thank God for this radio show. I thank God for you being my spiritual sisters and my other sisters. I thank God for that, because it's putting us all together to become unified.
Right.
We may be in different cities and different states,
but
we all serving the same God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We all serving the same God, and he's coming back to get a body. He's coming back to get a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He's coming back to get us holiness and purity. He's purifying us for sanctification, and he's purging us with his hyssop. And now in this season, it's time to be about it.
That's
what I'm ready to walk in. That's what I'm walking in. And I'm telling you, I'll be telling the devil on a daily basis, man, girl, you can't touch me. Because I know your tactics. I know that you're illusion. I know you already lost. God has given me the victory. You just a loser. You just making me think it's false evidence of being real, and it ain't real.
That's right.
So, girl, yes, it's time now to, it's time to walk in and eat the good of the land. It's time walk in the promises of God. His promises, yes and amen. Now, come on now. I know I got 3 children, and half the time my promises ain't no yes and amen. You make me mad. You don't do what I tell you to do. I'm not giving you nothing. But God promises a yes and amen.
That's right.
So that means if his promises yes and amen, that means we got easy access to what God has for us.
That's right.
So, girl, yes, we serve an awesome Father. He's our Abba Father, and he's always there with us, and he loves us, and he keeps his arms and his wings around us, and he hides us in the shadow of the Almighty. He just everlasting God. He's El Shaddai. He's great. I am omnipresent, omniscient. He's just everything. He just, I mean, words can't explain who God is. He's everything in our life. I'm saying he's the same miracle-working God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the same working miracle-working God from just the revelation. I'm telling you, he's doing things every day. He's letting the kingdom manifest here on earth. He said that it's done on earth, it's done in heaven. And he's doing that in this season. So I thank him, and I thank Jesus for Matthew 18 when he says he give us the keys of the kingdom. Yes. That means we got the keys, and we can open up any door. We can open up the door and do what God called to do. What's the use of peeking out the door when we got the keys? Just open up the door and walk through it. I know when I want to come in my house, I use my key and I get in. That's how I get in. So, I mean, come on now. We want to get in that car, that truck, or whatever we got. Mm-hmm. We use the keys to get in it. You know, whatever it is. You know, even we got a safe deposit box, we use the key. I got a mailbox. I use my key to get in that mailbox.
Right.
So whatever it is, we use the keys to get in. So if that's what we have and Jesus already given it to us, then why is we worried? Why is we afraid? Why is we doubtful when we have the key to the kingdom of heaven?
Amen.
It's already there. He said, and whatever you bind enough, bind in heaven, and whatever you loose enough, you loose in heaven. Then Jesus said in his Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven. Which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So whatever is done in heaven is done on earth.
That's right.
Well, heaven said, the Bible says in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Jesus said, and my Father hall there are many mansions. So if heaven got mansions, that means I shouldn't be worried about not even getting one here. It may not come right now, but I got faith to know I'm going to get one because heaven said I got one.
That's right.
We got to walk in this thing. We got to believe it because it's life and it's truth. So I just praise God on today. I thank God for all the listeners. I thank God for all those calling in. I know a couple of them, my spiritual sister, she got off, I know, because we have another event to go to. And I just thank God for it. I just love God. He's awesome. I thank God for you, Evangelina. And in this season of your life, God is going to take you higher. In these next 90 days, you're going to see God do some great things in your life. You're going to see every promise, every purpose, every prophecy come to pass. You're going to see God just take you up. Your ministry want to go higher. You're going to begin to just go high. You're going to be like an eagle, like in Isaiah 41, those that wait on the Lord. You shall mind your wings and fly like eagles. That's what God's going to do for you. He's going to take you high above everything. Everything that come your way, it ain't going to matter to you because you're going to be high above it. You're going to be like, this is nothing because I'm high above this thing. You're going to begin to go higher in God. Hallelujah. God is just going to take you to great places. He's going to begin to give you vision dreams, and you're going to be able to pop your prophetic. It's going to go up. You're going to begin to tell people what thus said the Lord is going to come to pass accurately. You're just going to do great things. God is just going to use you to do great things in this season because it's your time now for you to come out. It's time now for God to use you for his kingdom like never before. You've been doing work for God, but God said in this season of your life, in this season of your life, you're going to go higher in God, higher. Hallelujah. Oh, God, and go higher. So in this season, just say yes, Lord, I'm ready, and watch him do it. Say yes, Lord, not my will, but your will be done in my life, and just watch him just do it for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, my God, time is almost running out. See, I'm saying this show been so good on today, and we got 2 minutes left. Hallelujah, 2 minutes left. Evangeline, you want to say anything before we close out? Okay, I think she got off the air too. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to bless everybody. Know all the listeners. I am going to show that I love you. God bless you. I know that God has great things in store for you. Receive the promises of God. The promises are yes and amen. God has greater heights for you, greater levels for you, greater dimensions for you, and God will use you like never before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And we're walking into knowledge of him, God, who's able to do the exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that's working in us. And know that God loves you. I love you, too. I will see you all again next week on I Am Royalty Show. I am your host, Evangelist Tashana Wiley. And, yes, I'm coming live from St. Joseph, Michigan. And, yes, I'm not in Las Vegas anymore, but I thank God for being back home. Hallelujah. I'm like Dorothy on Wizard of Oz. There's no place like home. And I know that God will bless you and continue to bless you. And I will see you all next week. God bless.